ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रसा पुलथाशया यथानुरागा गता मनवयोर्विभवम् उद्भूय दोर्भिहरिरभ्य मूर्धनी घ्राणायरवापो परमम् उदम् ते। At that time, all the thoughts of the cowherd men merged in the mellow of paternal love, which was aroused by the sight of their sons. Experiencing a great attraction, their anger completely disappearing, they lifted their sons, embraced them in their arms, and enjoyed the highest pleasure of smelling their sons' heads. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After Brahma stole the original cowherd boys and calves, Krishna expanded himself to become the boys and calves again. Therefore, because the boys were actually Krishna's expansions, the cowherd men were especially attracted to them. At first, the cowherd men who were on top of the hill were angry, but because of Krishna, they were extremely attractive. Because of Krishna, the boys were extremely attractive, and therefore the cowherd men immediately came down from the hill with special affection. Tathapravayaso gopas Tukashilesha Sunir Vrita Krishakchanair Apakathas Tad Anusmratud Vasha. Thereafter, the elderly cowherd men, having obtained great feeling from embracing their sons, gradually and with great difficulty and reluctance ceased embracing them and returned to the forest. But as the men remembered their sons, tears began to roll down from their eyes. Purport. In the beginning, the cowherd men were angry that the cows were being attracted by the calves. But when the men came down from the hill, they themselves were attracted by their sons. And therefore, the men embraced them. To embrace one's son and smell his head are symptoms of affection. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Banchakalpata Rubyascha Kripasindu Vyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitan Prabhu Nithanam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the natural condition, every soul is attracted to Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kapunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Jeti Kori Yeyutoi. That pure love of Krishna is dormant within the heart of every living being. And when one is not covered by the eight elements of material nature, Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu Kamano Buddha Evacha, ahankara itiyame bhina prakritirashtita. Then one cannot help from being attracted to Krishna. Aparayamitashtvanyam prakritim virime param jiva bhuta mahabhava ayedam dharayate jagat. Beyond these eight elements of material nature, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, Krishna says that there is another nature. There is the eternal soul, the jiva, which is transcendent and beyond all the influences of material existence, beyond the three modes of material nature, beyond the actions and reactions of the laws of karma, beyond birth, beyond death. So what is that junction between material illusion and pure consciousness, which brings about the natural realization of our eternal affection to Krishna? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. The finest, the subtlest of all the material elements, Krishna explains, is ahankar, the false ego. And the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of this false ego, thinks himself to be the doer of his activities. If you think yourself to be the doer of your activities, then naturally you will think yourself to be the enjoyer and the sufferer of the results of your activities. Krishna explains, this is an illusion. This is because we have allowed ourselves to be bewildered by ahankar, the subtlest, the most refined of all material elements, which is that junction by which, when the soul takes that turn toward ahankar or false ego, one is carried down the road of material illusion and becomes utterly bound, entrapped by the three modes of material nature. But if we simply identify ourselves with our natural position, jivara swarupai krishna ranity das, that we are the eternal soul, we are all part of Krishna, we are his eternal servants, then in that pure state, where we are not covered by the modes of material existence, it is natural for us to be utterly attracted to Krishna. In fact, for such a soul, there is no question of sadhana, in the sense that we have to keep our mind fixed on Krishna. Krishna is the supreme reservoir of all beauty. He is the source and the supreme possessor of all opulence. Therefore, for the pure soul, the beauty of Krishna is irresistible. It is not possible to forget him in our natural state. And this is what we are reading about this morning. The cowherd men, the cows, because they had no personal motivations in their life, this is the quality of the Brijbasis, they were just naturally attracted to Krishna with the utmost affection of their hearts. The Brijbasis, first of all, they did not even consider Krishna to be Bhagwan, to be the absolute truth or God. The cowherd man considered Krishna the most adorable, loving son or child. The gopis, they considered him the perfect lover. The gopas Sakas, they considered no friend can be more wonderful to play with than Krishna. And the servants, the trees, Jamuna, every speck of dust on the ground in the spiritual world, everyone is conscious, fully conscious, in an utterly enlightened state. They are all simply thinking, our life, our soul, is just to please Krishna. Why? Not because he's God, not because he's the all-powerful, but because we love him, because he's the all-attractive. This is Vrindavan. And here we find an extension of this divine principle. Not only did they not know that Krishna was God and they were completely attracted to him, but here they didn't even know he was Krishna and they were equally completely attracted to him. The cows were thinking, these are our calves. They didn't have the slightest idea that this is Krishna. But because he was Krishna, their souls, their hearts were completely attracted in the topmost supreme love. And the cowherd man, these are our children, these are our boys. But their love flowed incessantly, ecstatically, because he was Krishna. So in bhakti, we go beyond intellectualism. We go beyond jnana. Here we find a state of realization in its supreme most degree beyond jnana, beyond knowledge. Huh? This is Vrindavan. Not only do they not recognize Krishna as God, but they'll love him even if they don't even know he's Krishna. The sentiments of love, the sentiments of bhakti, go beyond all realizations, beyond all yogic processes. Bhakti is the nature of the heart. Ah, and these beloved and blessed cowherd men we are reading of this morning, how fortunate they are. You see, in the execution of our devotional service, sometimes great anxieties come into our life. Because after all, we're in this world, and this is a world where there inevitably will be great obstacles in our devotional service. There will inevitably be great disappointments and reversals. That we cannot change. These cowherd men, their function on the top of Sri Govardhan was to render service to Krishna by taking care of his father's cows. Huh? That was their meditation. Their love was so much for Krishna that they just wanted to take the best care of these cows. Why? Because they were his father's cows, Nanda Maharaj. This was their joy and the beauty of their life. Whatever they did was for Krishna. But in the execution of their service to Krishna, they were attached. We find that they were really attached. They were attached to doing it nicely for Krishna. Detachment on the path of bhakti does not mean that we do not care about what we are doing or what the results will be. In devotional service, we must be attached to who we're doing it for and to do it best for him. We are not attached to our own, to enjoying the fruits of our activities for our own aggrandizement or for our own sensual pleasure. What we find here, that the cowherd men who are on the topmost platform of liberation, they were very attached to doing their service very nicely for Krishna, very conscientiously. And the proof of that, what is their service? I'm taking care of cows, making sure they come back to Vrindavan in the evening to give lots and lots of milk. That is their service, making them happy, making them joyful, giving them nice food, protecting them so nicely that when they come down, they will give profuse, abundant milk. But here we find that even in Vrindavan, even amongst the Brijvasis, reversals come into our devotional service. It appeared that their service was being spoiled because the cows were running down the hill, running away from them against their best interest. You see, in the process of executing our devotional service, things will not only go our way, not always go our way. And if we're thinking, when I become advanced, then everything will go my way, then you are in great illusion. Even if you come to the platform of Nanda Maharaj, still things do not always go your way. And they never will. We try our best. And the cowherd men, when they saw that their service to Krishna was being impeded by this phenomenal experience that they had never seen before, their cows running after their elder calves, they became very much frustrated in anxiety. And they were running after the cows to catch them. But ultimately, this frustration and anxiety was all yogamaya. It was all spiritual, because their frustration and anxiety were only for the pleasure of Krishna, not for themselves. Sometimes we see great saints. Srila Prabhupada used to say, when he would see his disciples fighting amongst themselves, he would say that, "I cannot properly write my books because your quarreling is giving me headaches." Now, does that mean he's not transcendental because he's getting headaches? After all, we think of mystic yogis, they're always just above everything. But Prabhupada's headache was way above the peace and tranquility of the mystic yogis. Why? Because he loved Krishna so much. He wanted to do so much for Krishna. That love was so intense that when he saw that the service was not what it should be, he was getting a headache. He wasn't attached to the fruits of the action. He was simply attached to Krishna. He was attached to everyone making the best offering to Krishna. So the great devotees, yes, they accept frustration. They accept anxiety. This is bhakti. But their frustration and anxiety is transcendental, because the object is Krishna. And this is a higher platform than no frustration and no anxiety. After all, if we read Vrindavan Leela, there's always frustration and anxieties. Demons are galloping in. When Keshi was coming to Vrindavan, when Aristasura was coming into Vrindavan, women were having miscarriages. When Indra was showering the rains, they were in anxiety. But in every situation, what was their anxiety doing? Just turning them to Krishna with more devotion, with more intensity, and with more love. And mostly, their anxiety was not what is happening to our homes. Their anxiety was what is going to happen to Krishna. What is going to happen to Krishna's service? So a devotee must be very, very, very attached to his service, to doing it nicely. But why? What a type of attachment? It's not that this is my service. It's Krishna's service. It's Guru Maharaj's service. We are simply attached to doing it the best we can for Krishna. And whatever happens, whatever the result may be, whether it's success or failure, whether it's easy or very difficult, if our attachment is actually transcendental, we'll never give up. Whatever situation comes, it will only invoke more enthusiasm, more determination to do better. That is the difference between material attachment and spiritual attachment in devotional service. If we're asked to do a particular service and we're not doing it properly and therefore something goes wrong, it is the illusion of a neophyte to think, oh, Krishna's in control, I shouldn't worry about it. You should worry about it, but you should worry for Krishna, not for your sense enjoyment. We haven't come here to be in bliss. We've come here to serve. Huh? And that consciousness is the ultimate bliss. But that is not why we're doing it. We're doing it for Krishna. Therefore, a sincere devotee, when he's working hard and he makes a mistake and something goes wrong, or even if he doesn't make a mistake and something is not the way Guru Maharaj and the Vaishnavas want it, he feels an anxiety that I have, but that anxiety prompts him, I have to do it better for them. That anxiety is the anxiety of love, not the anxiety of greed. It's transcendental anxiety. That is Krishna consciousness. And here we are finding that the cowherd men were in tremendous amount of transcendental anxiety. They were running. They could have said, oh, the cows, they are attracted to the calves. Let it be. We're not attached. Huh? But because the milk was for Krishna, they were attached. They weren't attached to the result. They were attached to giving every last drop of their energy to do the best for Krishna. That was their attachment. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, wonderful. That's not what we're thinking. But every drop of our energy must go to doing the best we can for Krishna, and we are attached to doing it like that. And we'll give our life for that purpose. And we'll be willing to receive and accept pain, suffering, and death if that's what it comes to please Krishna and to please our Guru Maharaj and to please the Vaishnavas. That is transcendental consciousness. But we find, what is the result? They were running down, trying to catch the cows, trying to drag them away from their calves to protect their service for Krishna. But as a result, they saw that there was nothing they could do. The attraction between the calves and the cows was so strong that there was no way that they could stand between that. But then they saw their own sons. And in seeing their sons, knowingly or unknowingly, they remembered Krishna, because Krishna happened to be their sons at the time. They remembered Krishna. And even though externally their service failed, they couldn't keep the cows away, they were no longer in anxiety because they remembered Krishna. They were above and beyond the dualities of material nature because they were immersed in the thought of Krishna, immersed in the service of Krishna. So this is the essence in this story of what we find that Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita. Karamanyeva dukataste, ma phaleshu dukaschana, ma karma phalahetur bhur mate sangostu karmani. That you have a right to perform your duty, but you should not be attached to the fruits of your action. The fruits are meant for the pleasure of Krishna. You should never be attached to not doing your duty the best you possibly could. Cowherd men, they did their duty the best they possibly could. But the results came out externally completely opposite. But because they knew they did the best they could, and they were always remembering Krishna, and their hearts were always fixed in Krishna, the result was transcendental ecstasy with Krishna. And here we find how happily they are. Prabhupada explains that to embrace one's son and smell his head are symptoms of affection. I'll be very honest that I personally have no realization of this divine statement of Srila Prabhupada. I'm sure some of your parents who have sons and daughters, you may have this realization. You can explain it to us later. But it is an external gesture, which is really to show your affection to your son. And these external gestures, both on the material and spiritual platform, are very necessary. Some people, they are very much averse to rituals, what they may call them. Why you are offering this puja and arti to this archivigraha? God is in your heart. You can just think of him and meditate on him. But if you're actually thinking and meditating on him properly, then you have a body. There are things in this world that God has created. You'll want to use everything as an expression to show an offering of love. And really, that is what ritual means. It's not just that we are performing some mechanical process. The ritual is the grace of God. He is giving us an opportunity to utilize our body, our mind, our senses, to express our love for him, to express our affection for him in service. And that expression of service is, in fact, the means by which we attract Krishna's heart. When we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, although there's actually no specific definition of prayer to the Maha Mantra, the Maha Mantra actually is simply the calling of the names of God. But the acharyas, they make a definition just to teach us the proper attitude by which we should chant, which is, my dear Lord Krishna, my dear Sri Radharani, my dear Sri Ram, please engage me in your loving service. This should be our attitude when we're chanting the holy names. And if this truly is our attitude, then the more we chant, the more it will develop within our heart a desire to serve, if we are chanting properly. And simultaneously, the more we serve with humility and devotion, the more it will increase the quality of our chanting. They are both inseparable in the way that they complement one another. You cannot serve properly unless you are chanting attentively. And you cannot chant attentively unless, with the proper consciousness, unless you are serving with humility. Now, we are begging the Lord for service. When we come out of our chanting, we have hands, we have eyes, we have a mouth, we have senses. And God is providing so much material energy all around us. What to do with it all? Express the conclusion of what we are praying for through rendering devotional service, through performing the ritual of showing our love. The word sacrifice means to make sacred. Everything is potentially sacred if it is simply offered to Krishna. The sacrifice of the holy name is to make our mind sacred by offering it to Krishna. To make all of our senses sacred by offering them to Krishna. to make our whole life sacred by offering it to Krishna and everything around us and everyone around us. Therefore, it is said, Tapo divyam putrika yena sattvam, that human life is meant for sacrifice. Ritual is such a blessed sacrament, such a sacred concept. The utter meditation of offering what we're offering to Krishna, to show our affection. So here we find the cowherd men are performing the simple ritual that I imagine from the way Prabhupada's speaking, every father offers this ritual to his son by smelling his head. Huh? Do you like that, son? Bonafide. It's authorized by all the previous acharyas. And in this way, Krishna, who was actually in the form of these sons, he was enjoying like anything, receiving the love of his fathers. And this is Vrindavan, where everyone, by Krishna's divine arrangement, because everyone so much wants to please Krishna, that Krishna just arranges ways to fulfill their desires to please them, even if they don't know what they're doing. When one attains a purified state of consciousness, whether one directly knows he's serving Krishna, or whether one... Krishna just arranges wonderful ways to please him. What I mean is, when we have a desire only to please Krishna, everything we do pleases Krishna. Krishna arranges inconceivable ways to please him. Sometimes we don't even know how it's pleasing him, but it's pleasing him if our desire is pure. And this is what's happening here. The cowherd men, in smelling the heads of their son, they don't even know they're pleasing Krishna. They don't even know that their sons are Krishna, but because their desire is so pure, whatever they do is pleasing to Krishna. Knowingly or unknowingly. Therefore, what is the goal of life? To purify our consciousness. To make our only desire Krishna. And then let Krishna do the rest. Devotee's not particular. A devotee is attached to one thing, pleasing his guru and pleasing Krishna. And if that is our attachment, to the degree that is attachment, Krishna will just orchestrate our whole life because he is the supreme controller of all controllers beyond our powers. And this is the difference between a mystic yogi and a bhakta. Durvas Muni was a mystic yogi who knew how to do great things to get his desires fulfilled. When he saw that there was an impediment, he could create a fiery demon to kill someone. But Ambarish, he didn't really know what was going to happen from one moment to the next. All he knew was, Krishna is my protector, Krishna is my Lord, and I am always serving you and I am always remembering you. Now Krishna, you can do what you want. Ambarish didn't know Krishna was going to protect him. But he was perfectly satisfied simply remembering Krishna. And he let Krishna do the rest. This is pure devotee. He doesn't try to be the controller. He doesn't try to be the master. He simply loves Krishna. He always remembers Krishna. He's always immersed in trying to serve Krishna to the best of his capacity. He's willing to make sacrifice. He's willing to accept anxiety, frustration, anything, risk of life. To serve Krishna, to please Krishna. But he just leaves everything up to Krishna. He doesn't pretend to know what will happen or what will not happen. He just leaves it to Krishna with complete faith and devotion. This is Krishna consciousness. This is real detachment. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayatyasu Vairagyam. By this learning how to render devotional service in this mood of trying to please Guru, trying to please the Vaishnavas, trying to please Krishna, we simultaneously automatically attain the perfection of knowledge and detachment. there any questions? Yes. If you are honest with yourself that you are doing your best possible, not holding back, to serve the order of your spiritual authorities, then you should know that everything is in the hands of Krishna. It's always in the hands of Krishna, and you are properly pleasing him, and you are properly making spiritual advancement. If you're trying your best, even if you make a mistake, your mistake is as pleasing to Krishna as if you did it perfectly, if you're trying your best to please your Guru Maharaj and serve his mission. Krishna doesn't see mistake or not mistake. If you make a mistake, he may put all sorts of reversals and obstructions due to that mistake. But if actually you're trying your best, the mistake is pleasing to Krishna, and the result, which means you have to increase your service and take on so much more responsibility and sometimes even headaches, that is even more pleasing to Krishna. Huh? So the main thing is do the best you possibly can in harmony with the instruction of Guru Maharaj and his representatives. You don't have to think about everything else. The rest, you just leave it to Krishna. He knows what's best to purify me, and he will orchestrate everything accordingly. We should not give up. We should know Krishna is the controller of all controllers. He is Sarveshwareshwara. Is there any questions? What does he say? Huh? What's the rest of your question? What extent? To the extent Devamrita Prabhu tells you to do it. It's very simple. Why do you complicate everything? Just hear and follow. That's all. But in your heart, you should always be longing and hankering for the association of devotees. So your question is a good question. We should do what we are meant to do. It's very simple. Just follow the instructions. The representatives of your Gurudev know best how you can make spiritual advancement. Believe it or not, they know even better than you. Huh? Do you believe that? That is a great impediment when we think we know better. But the senior Vaishnavas, they know better than me how I can come to Krishna. So we simply hear submissively and serve their instruction. But at the same time, we should always be longing for the association of devotees. We should take every possible opportunity to come and associate with devotees. But to the extent it does not disturb the service that you are given. Huh? Yes. I was on airplanes, so my ears are kind of like...
How does a devotee actually open his heart fully
Tadvidi prani patena pariprasnena sevaya. Begins by hearing submissively. By hearing submissively. With a willingness. Pariprasnena sevaya. With a willingness to serve, to execute that instruction. To open our hearts and ears means we're thirsty to hear what they have to say. And it all means we're willing, according to our capacity, to execute the instruction, to put into life what we hear. Practically speaking, that's what it means to open our heart. To hear submissively, to hear submissively with the willingness to put it into our life in our devotional service. Opening one's heart is not an abstraction. By this definition I have just given, it is something very practical, very real, something anyone can do if they so desire. I think everyone knows exactly what you're talking about. Simple people, whatever they say, everyone knows exactly what their motivation is. Complicated people, they hide. They say one thing, but you never know what they're thinking. But Ananda Vrindavan, everyone knows what he's thinking. Haribo. Bhagavatam explains, dharamasya hyapavaragyasya naratatayopakautate naratasya dharamekantasya kamolabhaya hismrita. That means you must perform your devotional service as instructed by Guru Maharaj coming down from Krishna. But never think that the results of your devotional service or the paraphernalia that you're using in your devotional service is for your own sense gratification. It is all the sacred property of Krishna. It is all the sacred property of God. If we respect it as such, then we will never fall prey to Maya. In Grihastha life, if Guru Maharaj wants you to be married, then, I mean, a wife, potentially you can have a lot of sense gratification with a wife. And you can have a lot of sense gratification with all these little children running around. Personally, I can't imagine how, but everyone does. Huh? But factually, as a sannyasi, if somebody's offering you these garlands and if somebody's offering you respect, you can enjoy just as much sense gratification on another platform in that way. Huh? If we're doing business for Krishna and we're making money, we can take that money and just, I'll give this much, but I'll keep a little here for my sense gratification. And if you're a brahmachari, through recognition, through distinction, through keeping something small for himself, he can also use that to enjoy sense gratification. So whatever ashram you are in, whatever service you are in, there will be facility created by that service that you can enjoy for yourself. It's not only the Grihastha ashram. All the ashrams. Therefore, dharmasya hyabhavaragyasya naratatayopakaltate. Naratasya dharmaikantasya kamo labayahi smrita. That in the occupational duties, in the service of the Lord, that we perform whatever it may be, never consider that the facilities that we are given, or that the facilities that are coming, are for our own enjoyment. They are always in the service of Krishna. And by hearing submissively this philosophy and regularly associating with saintly persons, but if we are not hearing regularly, if we are not properly chanting the holy name, if we are not properly associating with devotees very regularly, this will be an impossibility. Any other questions? Yes. If you are chanting the holy name sincerely, if you are properly associating with devotees, and you are honestly and sincerely trying to do your service according to Guru's instruction, following the regulative principles, then gradually Krishna will give you the intelligence by which you will know for sure. Until then, there's always that, is this, am I really doing it only for Krishna or for me? If it's what Guru wants, don't worry about it. Just do it for him. And if you are sincere and you are following his instructions and chanting the holy names, gradually you will have that divine intelligence given by Krishna by which you will know for certain. And in the meanwhile, if there is some confusion, you just ask. It's as simple as inquiring. Sometimes when a person knows that he's doing something wrong, but he wants to justify it in the name of Krishna, he's afraid to ask, because then he has to face the guilt of his own consciousness that I know it's wrong. Huh? Ignorance is bliss. If you don't know it's wrong, but you're pretty sure it is, if we're not honest, we won't ask. And we'll just continue justifying. But if we're honest, we'll ask. If there's any question, and then we'll follow. It's like in the Hare Krishna movement. At the beginning of the movement, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they had nothing. Prabhupada came with nothing. Prabhupada used to say this all the time. When he would be in India and he'd have all these young boys and girls, some of them were sons of millionaires from America and Europe, and he would say, why is it that they are attracted to me? I'm just an old man. I have nothing. When they came to me, they had to live in poverty with me. Why are they attracted? Only because they are seeing Krishna through me. No other reason. There's no material reasoning behind it. Defies all of our social laws. So anyways, these young boys and girls, they were just living in the temple in New York. You know, New York is a cold place. It's covered by snow. In the winter, there was no heat. They just lived in the winter, sleeping on a cold floor with not even any heat in the room. And they were going out all day long in the snow, just distributing books, their hands freezing, coming back, hardly any food to eat, just a little. What to speak of at New Vrindavan? That's the way they were in New York. And those people from New York, they were afraid to come to New Vrindavan because they were thinking it's so austere. So you can imagine what New Vrindavan was in those days, in the early 70s. People were living in ice-cold apartments in the ice-cold rooms in New York on Henry Street. There was no heat. They couldn't afford it. There was just really, really simple food. They were going out all day in the snow, distributing books to people, getting harassed, getting things thrown at them, getting arrested and put in jail. And when somebody would want to come to New Vrindavan, they'd say, "We warn you, don't go there because it's too austere there." That's new, so you can imagine. Everywhere in the world in those days, devotees, they had nothing. But they were so fired up. No one was leaving. Everyone was just excited, exuberant, to do more and more and more and more service. But what happened? Krishna rewarded their service. They wanted to do more and more. Lakshmi Devi, being pleased with her service to her beloved, she started bestowing fabulous wealth. Soon there were wonderful temples and wonderful facilities. And what happened? It was a facility to do more service. That was such a blessed gift of God. But many of those people, not just a few, but many, they were thinking, "Oh, as a president of this temple, I used to have to sleep on a hard, cold floor. I used to have to go out just to distribute books, to collect a few pennies to pay the rent. But now, we have all this money coming in, and I have a nice desk and a nice soft chair, and now I could just be a manager and just direct activities and enjoy. And now the prasad is so wonderful and opulent and luxurious." Though the facilities that Krishna were giving to expand the service that could have expanded tremendously, they were using some of it for that, and the other part they were using to live a more comfortable life. And what was the result? That they lost their enthusiasm for devotional service. They lost their sense of austerity. And the temples that were growing to that point, they started going shrinking, because devotees started taking the facilities Krishna was giving them, which were the fruits of their activities. Their desire was to spread Krishna consciousness. Krishna gave magnificent facilities of lots of money to do that. But because they started taking it for their sense gratification, their own devotional surface attitude started drying up. Nobody was inspired anymore. Huh? This is very dangerous. The more Krishna gives us, we should maintain the same basic standard of simplicity in our own life and use everything for Krishna. Krishna's giving it to us, not for our own sense enjoyment. He's giving it to us to fulfill the initial desire we had, which was to spread the glories of our Guru's mission more and more and more and more and more. Huh? Thank you very much.